Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I am Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
We're here to talk about the unquestioned game of 2023, I feel sure. Like, in my mind,
yeah.
Everything I've heard, which is Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this game is huge.
Yeah.
I feel sadly. Like if you've kind of followed our stuff, we play shorter stuff. We don't play a lot of longer stuff. We don't have that much time on our hands. So,
yeah.
Doug decided to jump into this, and I think you're, what, 30 or 40 hours in at this
30
point?
Hour. I think I just hit the 30-hour mark, yeah.
So, basically, we're going to record this, talk about this now, because Doug has thoughts on the greatest game ever made, Baldur's Gate 3. And he doesn't know if he's going to finish it, because it's a long-ass game. And
it is a long-ass game. It's an extremely long-ass game. I'm still in the prologue.
So, we'll talk about the first 30 hours of Doug's experience, and then maybe we'll come back at the end if he finishes it, or as we kind of play through it, we'll check in a little bit with Doug on his Baldur's Gate adventure. So, 30 hours in.
Yeah.
What's going on with this? Is it the greatest thing that's ever made and the best video game that's ever come out of anywhere, ever, at any point in time in history?
I like it a lot. I can
that was the most hesitant I like it a lot I think I've ever heard in my life. I like it a
because
lot.
I'm not in love with it. I'm not in love with it, but it's like just keeping my interest. Which is like, I feel like with like one of the things I really like about games, and games I really, really like, are games that are changing it up enough throughout, you know, the length of a game to keep me interested. If it's a short game, it doesn't need a lot of stuff. It's a long game, like, and you need to keep doing new things for me to be interested. Because sometimes I feel like with every sort of like game over 15 hours, there's a point where there's just like these big spaces of just white noise, just like, and you're just kind of like playing the game. And this just this game has none of that, which I think so far. Which is cool and scary and fun and just it's just interesting. I really like it. It's a cool game. It is mechanically extremely complicated. It takes a long time to learn. But I think once you kind of learn its nuances and how to play it, I think I'm finding that it's actually not that much different than other games. It's just a lot deeper than other games. So, like, it's not like this, holy crap, it's this brand new genre in this. It's just like, what if Mass Effect did what Mass Effect was trying to do? It's kind of where I've ultimately landed.
The meeting the promises of 10 years ago type thing.
Yes, exactly. And meeting the promises of games like, your decisions matter. It's like, oh, no, this is like, you can actually see it. Like, you feel it, you can see it in every single piece of this game where your decision making matters, how you approach situations, how you do this. So I think in that regard, it's just like a really impressive version of taking these sort of promises and actually, like, you know, pulling it off. So yeah, I guess just to kind of start, what is Baldur's Gate 3? It's the third game of the Baldur's Gate series.
okay, moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. So
computer RPG. Okay.
Yeah. So Baldur's Gate 3 is a Dungeons & Dragons game that adheres to the Dungeons & Dragons mechanics. I'm not super familiar with Dungeons & Dragons. I've played Dungeons & Dragons before, but I had a very nice DM who was just like, let's do more story stuff, the mechanic stuff. And this game's like hardcore
Dungeons. Let's screw around and just see what happens.
Yeah, and this is like hardcore D&D mechanics, which is mostly what the learning curve is, because it's like stacks and stacks of books of information of how to play the game. But so the story set of the game, I think, is really cool, because in the Dungeons & Dragons universe, there's a lot of different like creatures and races and different types of classes and all this other stuff. So the way they sort of bring all those people together to form your little party of where everybody has these different backgrounds and different skills and all that stuff is you are kidnapped along with like random people throughout the realm. And this is a really, really cool opening cutscene where you get this sort of like worm thing put into your eye. Which basically is supposed to turn you into this horrible, nasty monster thing. So that thing crash lands. You now have your party of people who all basically have the same affliction. And the crux of the game is we are finding people who have this affliction, and we're going to stick together just to get rid of this affliction from ourselves. And maybe we'll become friends along the way. but it's a really cool thing, because it just allows you to like different races and stuff in the game that necessarily wouldn't work together. They have to work together now. So there's like cool immediate conflicts between your party members whenever you meet them.
Okay.
There's interesting ways that like different people want to approach stuff. I feel like with like stuff like Mass Effect and stuff, they have like, you get like the one bad guy and then everybody's just, you know, and then you just like, and he's like, here's your bad guy decisions. It never really feels like that. It just feels like people with different points of view and stuff that you're trying to balance.
Okay. Yeah. Not the renegade paragon, like right, wrong. It's just there's six gray areas, one that feels good and one that feels bad.
Yeah, and it's really cool. And like, as in the opening of the game, like the first few hours of the game, like they're giving you these different options of like how to get rid of the parasite. And it's just really neat because it seems like every option might be kind of bad because the evil guys want the parasites for some reason. You're not quite sure why. The good guys, like, they kind of have an idea how to do it, but they're not quite sure. But the evil guys seem like more of a sure bet. And there's like all these like neutral parties in the middle who are all kind of interested in your party. But I think the thing that's just like really crazy and cool and interesting about the game is that that's your overarching mission. But every single thing you do in this game feels like a main mission. It always feels like with most games when you're playing a game, like you have the, here's your main mission. And then mechanically off to the side, there's like a side mission. Like Yakuza is probably the easiest one just to describe.
Yeah.
There's a budget put in the mainline, you know, story. And then you do a side mission. It's a bunch of text boxes. I mean, they're fun text boxes, but it's like, it's just text boxes.
But they're text boxes. But it's just clearly like reused stuff and it's nothing special.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But in this one, it's cool because it just feels like every single mission you do has enough depth to it that it feels like it could be the main mission of any other game. So it feels like, so, which is cool and kind of overwhelming.
Is it overwhelming? Cause that sounds very overwhelming.
It isn't because it just makes the game interesting all the time. So that's like what I'm saying. Like when in other games where you're playing a side mission, it's kind of like, all right, I'm now in side mission mode. This stuff doesn't really matter. It's like, okay, the mechanics probably aren't going to be 100% there. Or maybe it'll do like a little mini game or something like that. But in this one, it's just like, oh no, that's just like now a whole other rabbit hole I can go into.
Is that clearly defined that it's like side mission stuff? Or is it like...
No, every mission is a mission. So that's what I'm saying. It's a game with no side missions, if that makes sense.
But a lot of side missions, but no side missions?
Yeah, kind of.
So it's never like, so again, to go to the Like a Dragon Yakuza analogy, it's like main mission, main mission, main mission, sub-story, 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 fetch quest, fetch quest. It's just like missions. And nothing's just highlighted, nothing's like given more like priority than anything else.
No, because they can all have their own like little unique spider webs of things. And like if you do this one mission, because it's all basically tracking down different ways to get rid of this parasite. And sometimes those things kind of end in dead ends, but like it's not like they're like interesting dead ends, like, oh, maybe that guy was actually lying, actually didn't have a way to heal you. It makes everything feel important. Every single battle in this game has named characters in it. So there's like no battle that you go into where it's just like,
Foot Soldier 3.
Yes, exactly. There's like two foot soldiers and then two named guys. And depending on how you approach the situation, those two named guys could have had their own full blown side quests, but just because you're decision making, they're now bad guys and you just kill them off in one fight. Which is, I don't know. I think it's like really interesting because it's like you can feel like where these paths are kind of shutting off and like where you're kind of like turning on like, okay, I want to go down this path, but I know if I go down this path, it's going to shut off this path permanently.
Does it feel flowcharty? Like I'm thinking like Detroit Become Human where it's like, okay, I very clearly like Connor needs to make this choice or this choice. Like, does it feel like that? And it's like, okay, if I make that choice, then I'm never going to talk to these six characters, so I can't go down that flowchart. Or does it feel more organic than that?
It definitely feels more organic, but you can definitely feel like shutting off. Like there is like the bad guy quest line or like the more neutral stuff. Like sometimes you just have to kill a bad guy. One of the first bad guys that you can kill can be a party member. So it's like there were like two people I think I killed were like potential party members. So that would have been their whole own side quest, their whole own stuff, because the people that you're usually kind of like the main antagonists and protagonists are people who have the same affliction as you. So when you kill people who have the same affliction as you, you actually, when you pick up your equipment, you kind of realize how their equipment setup is like, oh, this actually would have been, if I had played this differently, they would have actually just been like a different, a whole new party member who would have had their own side quests, would have had their own things, their own whatever. But it's just, it's really interesting just kind of diving into this stuff because it feels so, so dense. They obviously just put like a ton of effort into it. I remember there was like one really, really cool thing that had happened where there was this guy in a fight who was like an ally of mine who died like immediately. It was just like, okay, no, there's no way I could have saved this guy or whatever. And then I had a spell of like talk to the dead. So I talked to him and I found out that he actually had like a super secret password to this other place. And then I went there and then that guy, there's a guy who was waiting for me. I used the super secret password, got this whole other like 2 hour side mission thing that I never would have done if I hadn't talked to that dead body in that way. Cause he would have just died off or whatever. Yeah. And the game is just like filled with stuff like that. Like you find a book on a shelf. And that book on a shelf, like random book on a shelf, like not even like highlighted or anything. It's just you're reading tons of books and stuff all the time. But if you read that one in particular, there's a note in it or there is a subquest or somebody wants that book. And then you can go off and do that thing as well. So it just feels really kind of just organic. It just feels like in Mass Effect and other games, I think Mass Effect is like that's probably the most analogous to it. In Mass Effect, it also felt like too when you finish a side mission, sometimes it just, you get like an email from the guy who's like, thanks, bud. And that was like the end of it. Yeah. But even doing like those like little side missions sometimes has some like reverberating effects later in the game that you're not, that you aren't aware of, but, or you'll come across later, or like that little piece of information is actually super important in this other main mission thing.
Does this feel like you're making progress or is it just, because it almost sounds like a slog to me where it's just like, okay, I did this and I got that little piece. Well, that was the main quest. So I got this little piece. And well, then I went over here and I did this and I got this little piece. And oh, like it just, the way you're describing it seems like it's set up to never have like these big, like revelation inducing moments. Like, is it, do you get those or is it just kind of like piecemeal things? Like, it just seems like I get frustrated that I don't feel like I'm making enough progress.
No, you're right. I actually think that is kind of an issue with the game is because you don't really know what mission to focus on. It can sometimes feel like a slog of like, okay, what's the one that kind of gets me the important enough information to pull the plot forward? There's definitely kind of pushing you a direction of like kind of like the main plot, but because like you're saying, because it all feels important, because I was saying like, because it all feels important, it does. And that's kind of where I'm getting not stuck and like, maybe I will, maybe I won't finish it. It was all interesting stuff, but not, most of it was not pushing the plot forward. I was getting like cool armor and cool weapons and stuff and cool situations. And I just ran this one that was really interesting where there's an you're climbing this tower owned by this guy and you're reading all this poetry. At the top of the tower is a robot and the only way you can talk to the robot is through the poetry you read. And I was like, that's just like an interesting, neat concept that I've never done before. And you have so many options in combat. And I think like one of the really cool aspects of it is like all the things you can do in combat, you can do to the world outside of combat, and which is kind of like a hard thing to pull your, you don't get sucked into a different universe or like the mechanics all change and all that stuff. Like you can do anything in combat and out of combat, like the exact same stuff.
So like if I'm just walking through a town, I could use my fire spell and just throw a fire spell out in the middle of a bar and whatever happens, happens.
Yes, exactly. And then it's like sometimes important to do that.
Not that specific. Sometimes you gotta throw the fire spell in the bar.
But like using like your invisibility spell to sneak past something, or using super jump to do this, or using charm on like different people before you start doing your roles and stuff. I don't know. It's just like an interesting game. Just kind of poke and prod. It's kind of like where I'm at with it now. So like, I really like it because there's just so many different ways you can poke and prod the game and it responds. But I think it's so, it's kind of like you actually got a really point of that. The thing is like, it's so dense. It's like, but it doesn't really feel like the main story is driving. Like I'm definitely learning more about the characters. I'm learning more about the world, but yeah, it is hard to kind of get that like driving force that pulls you through.
Cause that's been my biggest hesitation with it is I just feel like it's a game for people who want to invest 200 hours in a game. And that's not me. Like my JRPGs that hit like 40 or 50 hours, I'm feeling rough. So it's like, in my mind, I feel like it's the perfect game if you want a game that's going to last you 200 hours. But if you don't want that, is there something that I can mainline this thing and get my, instead of 120, can I get 70? Can I get 40?
No, but the thing is that unlike most 100-hour game, like I played Persona, and like I mean I like Persona 5 a lot. It's 100 hours, but I'd say like 80% of that stuff is repeating stuff. Like not, you know, it's like doing battles or grinding. Like I feel like most 100-hour games is just like long stretches of stuff you've done before. But this is just like 100 hours of 10-hour games. You know what I mean? Of like that sort of like density and what stuff.
In what ways are they different though? Like, is it different mechanics? Is it different like areas? Like, what makes the first 10 different than the second, different than the third? Like,
just the situations you're put in, like the characters you meet. Like, it doesn't feel like there's. So, for example, the same tower with like the automaton thing that was at the top that only responds to poetry. In order to get the access to that, I had to get a very specific spell to get down to the specific area, and I did like four or five other things to get to that point. It kind of feels like a large puzzle game. They compared it to Hitman, they compared it to like Deus Ex. So like you're given all these like new sort of puzzles to solve, whether that's a combat puzzle, whether that's like a let's say a story puzzle where like you're trying to get different people, like, oh, before this battle starts, I should probably go talk to this guy or talk to this guy, and maybe they'll join me in the fight, or maybe they'll just join the bad guys in the fight and that kind of thing. So it just feels like it's all these interesting ways that they're playing with the mechanics, whether that's, you know, like I said, like your story mechanics, your what spells you have. One of the things, like there's an optional spell you can get that's talk to animals, and there's a lot of fun stuff that's like spills out of that when you're talking to all the different animals. Like, that's probably the most fun part of the game, is actually talking to animals.
don't skip that one.
Yeah, but it just feels like it's constantly using all these mechanics in interesting ways, or presenting you with new situations, as opposed to a long JRPG, not just like, let's just say a traditional JRPG or something like that, where it's like, okay, I know how to do attacks and magic and all that stuff, yada yada, we're moving forward. But it's like, no, every single battle in this matters, every single thing feels purposeful that you do. Yeah, which I think that's kind of what sets it apart than most of these games, like that you would consider that would be, like, in this like length of time and whatever else.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a neat game. I mean, I like it. I can see why people would love it though. I think that if you don't like high fantasy, I'm not really a high fantasy guy.
No, I know makes me intrigued by this whole thing that you like this so much.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was like any other setting, I'd probably be like super into it. I do think it's coming for Mass Effect though. Like, I think Mass Effect is gonna Mass Effect will be immediately, you know, compared to this game. I don't think there's many other games like it. I don't think there's many other things out there that are that could be directly compared to it. But I think Mass Effect is probably the most immediate. Like, I'm sure they're not sure they're quaking in their boots per se, but I think it's like they need to. Every game is probably like, we need to step it up. Yeah, because it has a combat that's like almost like a Hitman puzzle. It has every conversation is deeper than any Mass Effect thing you've ever played. Side characters have deeper conversations than you've had with main characters in Mass Effect. Yeah, it's a cool game. I don't know if I'll ever finish it.
it does sound like that. Like, every promise that's been made in an RPG in the last 10 years, it just seems like it's the culmination of that. It's like, no, we actually did that thing that Peter Molyneux promised you for Fable 2. We did that thing that Mass Effect talked about for Mass Effect 3. We did that thing that Dragon Age was supposed to do for this kind of... Here it is in Baldur's Gate 3 of all places. Yeah. This weird, giant, substantial indie game, basically, that's the greatest game ever, as we started out with.
It took 6 years to make, and you can definitely feel it. This game felt like it took 6 years to make. You can feel it. Yeah.
With all that, I'm not shocked. But we are Workforce Gaming. We may come back to this. We may not. We'll see. But we have videos up every Monday. Subscribe to our channel. Leave a comment below. You can support us on Ko-fi at the link in the description. We'll see you later.
Bye.